prophets, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. I want you to notice, and it's in your notes there, that the pardon of our iniquities comes before the healing of our diseases. And I have this up here so you can look at it, but this is what I'm going to tell you. Before anyone can be truly healed, and we pray for healing. We just went through a whole list of things that we're praying for people's healing, whether it's the cancer list or the hearts with Mark and Nancy, all different things that we have been praying for. But before anyone can be truly healed physically, the sin issue needs to be dealt with. They need to be saved from their sin. Grace for our sin penalty must be received, or any physical healing. Think about this. Just think of how I worded it up here. Not that it's inspired or anything, but grace for our sin penalty must be received, or any physical healing that we receive is only going to be temporary. If you're suffering with, let's go with Sarah, a tumor, say it's not cancer, but you're just having these terrible headaches, and I asked you to pray for Tanya Bankus as well. She called me, and I'm going to ask you to pray for a family, Don and Dolores Cheryl. I won't tell you their last name in case you know them, but Tanya asked if I would visit them. They're older, and Dolores is beginning to have some Alzheimer affecting her, and she mentioned me. She said, would you mind having a pastor come and visit you? And he said, I would love that. He said, I want to make sure I have my eternity ready before eternity comes. So Tanya asked me if I would go do that. I said, absolutely. I would go pray, go spend some time with them and pray with them, because I'm concerned about people's spiritual destiny. But I said, Tanya, I heard that you fell. And she said, yeah, she slipped at CNN Bank. She works there. And she said she went down the parking lot and cracked her head, fractured her skull, injured her tailbone, and has some other different things that are messed up. And she said, I went to the chiropractor, and they can't touch me because of the damage in my head. So she said the pain is pretty bad. But I don't know whether the Bankuses know the Lord or not, but their son Tucker is the one who shoveled for us this week. But we pray for people's physical healing. And I'm not saying Tanya doesn't know the Lord, but if she doesn't, and we pray for her headaches to ease and her skull to heal, and she's healed of that, that's good from a human standpoint. But if she doesn't know the Lord, it is just temporary. Her healing is only temporary. It's just for here. And I want you to think about that, why David says this: you forgive my iniquity and you also heal my diseases. If we don't receive Christ's death in our place to cover the payment for our sin, physical healing is really useless. It really is. It just extends our life here on earth before we die into a crisis eternity. We need forgiveness of sin. We're still eventually going to die, even if we're healed in this life. Even if a person is healed physically, we're still going to eventually die, and that will be for eternity. And we need to be thankful for this truth that he offers us forgiveness for our sin, forgiveness for our iniquity, but he also heals our diseases. He pardons us, or as my version says, he forgives us. Isaiah 53, you know the verses 5 and 6, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And again, I know I've shared this before. When I do evangelism, I often have my Bible with me, and I've said this before. I said, say this book contains, and it's a lot thicker than this, my Bible, and I'll say this book contains every sin that Ron Hagee's ever committed. It would be a lot bigger than that. It would be an encyclopedia set. But according to this, it's saying, if I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and I trust him to pardon me, this is me, or this is Christ, this is me. I'm carrying my sin. But the Bible says that God laid on Jesus my iniquity. So Jesus has my sin, and he's forgiving me for that if I trust him as my personal Savior, if we trust him to pardon us, if we trust him to forgive us. I shared this three or four years ago when I was invited the first time to speak at the Mansfield Christian Group, the Navigators. A young man called me, and he just said, "Pastor Ron," this is, gave me his name. His name was Aaron. And he said, "Would you be available to come and speak to our group?" And I set up a time with him. He didn't tell me anything about that I should know him then. And when I showed up, he and his brother were there. Aaron was about to graduate that year, and then his brother was 2 years younger. But Aaron was the student leader of the Navigators, and then his brother, after Aaron graduated, he took over until he graduated last year. But when I pulled in, he goes, "Do you remember me?" And I looked at him like I should know him, but I just couldn't place him. He said, You were the youth pastor when you guys combined from Draper, combined with Wellsboro Bible, and we did youth group together." And he said, "I wasn't attending Wellsboro Bible then, but we had heard about your youth group, so," and we did. When we combined with Wellsboro Bible, we had kids from other different groups, a bunch of different groups come because they didn't have a youth, some of them didn't have youth groups. So he said, "Yeah, I got to know you then." He said, "I just thought of asking you to come and speak." So I presented the gospel at that group, and in that meeting, we probably had 30 or 35 students there, and we had three or four people pray to receive Christ that night, and I was excited about that, and they told me that most speakers don't come and share the gospel. They just come and say something to the students to encourage them. Whenever I go, if I'm speaking toward a group I don't know, I present the gospel. So when I got done, Aaron got up and told this story, which I didn't realize until he told this. He said, "Pastor Ron, I had him as a youth pastor in youth group," and he said, "He might not even remember this, but he said he spoke one time. We did a big activity up at Three Springs, his Thousand Hills, and we had a game night, and we brought a bunch of people in, and Pastor Ron presented the gospel, much like he just did here tonight, and he said, that's when I trusted Christ as my Savior." And be honest, tears were coming to my eyes when he's telling us this, and he's saying this to the group, and he said, "I am so thankful," and he didn't thank the Lord for me, but he said, "I am so thankful for forgiveness. I am so grateful that God forgave me of my sin." And Aaron and his brother were nice-looking young guys, very clean-cut, and some people would say, "What kind of sin did Aaron and his brother do? I mean, they're so nice and so clean-cut." But Aaron knew that he needed a Savior, and when he thanked the Lord for forgiveness and for pardon, I believe that set the tone for the youth, for that group over the next couple of years. Every time I go, we usually have four or five students that pray to receive Christ. And I believe a lot of that is based on Aaron's expressing gratitude for pardon from sin. He also talks about healing for the believer. And I want you to understand that healing happens all the time. Healing happens all the time. If not here in this life, it will be for eternity. It will be for eternal, for the believer again. It will be an eternal eternal healing of our diseases. And we have that to look forward to. But in any list of prayer items, I hope I did, on Wednesday when I sent out that prayer letter or prayer sheet, our first thing is we need to thank the Lord for praises. But the first thing we need to thank the Lord for is for our salvation. Lord, thank you for forgiveness. And every morning when I pray, I told you I go through the word acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And my word acts is my first thing I thank the Lord for. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. And any list that we have before the Lord needs to start with that. If we know Christ as our Savior, we need to thank him for forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, the rest of your list isn't going to matter. It really won't. So he pardons, first thing. In verses 4 and 5, we see he provides. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He redeems from the pit. And he satisfies with good. That doesn't mean that God is going to give us everything we ask. It doesn't mean that he's going to provide all of our wants. But it does mean, let me read it again. Verse I'm looking for. Verse 5. He satisfies you with what? What's the word? He satisfies you with good. We have that saying here, don't we? He is good all the time, and all the time he is good. And that's so true. We just see God's goodness. And we must understand that some of God's greatest servants in Scripture experienced great difficulties in life. Whether it's wayward kids, as David did, whether it's physical suffering, like Paul, and Paul had those physical different things, a thorn in his flesh. And if anyone deserved to claim healing and say, I want it now, it would have been Paul. Think of all that Paul did, all the letters he wrote, all the good that he did, all the suffering he went through. And he should have said, God, I'm serving you here. I deserve to be healed of whatever the problem was. But he didn't experience that. I've had friends and family members and God's servants and prayer warriors who prayed for healing but didn't experience it in this life. Was there a problem with their prayers? No. But they understand that God redeemed them, that God saved their life from the pit of hell. And that's what the salvation is. That goes back to the forgiveness. He protects us. I want to ask you to raise your hand if any of you have experienced the effects of aging. Now, I'm looking to see. Okay, one person didn't raise their hand, Carly. Carly's what, 14? So Carly hasn't yet hasn't felt the effects of aging. How many of you ever find yourself complaining about the things you heard your grandparents complain about? Anybody ever do that? All right. That's part of life, isn't it? What happened to our faith? Did anybody claim to be, want to say, oh, I want to remain 16 body-wise. As I grow older, I want to be as vibrant as I was at 18. Russ might have been thinking that over the last few weeks. I wish my back felt like it did. But what's happened to all the faith healers? Remember the faith healers we used to see in the 70s and 80s? What happened to them? They all got old and most of them died. What happened? Did their prayers not work? What happens to us when we don't see the prayers that we ask the Lord for come true? He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns your life with steadfast love and mercy. He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What happened? I can't do what I used to do. I have this pinched nerve in my neck, and the only reason I always do the shoveling here. Except when Phil came over with his flame thrower, we tried to melt some of the ice last month. But I usually just come out and shovel. Not a problem. It was 10 or 12 inches out here, and I did just a path for Wednesday night. And I realized, I can't do this anymore. My shoulder is not going to let me do the whole sidewalk. So I contacted Tucker, and he came and shoveled. But I thought, 20 years ago, it wouldn't have been a problem. 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been a problem. Now I can't do the things that I did even 10 years ago. What's the problem with us? You folks, what's your problem? You're getting old. Is there something wrong with this scripture here? He has redeemed my life from the pit, but he's not giving me this youth like an eagle. I want you to understand, this is a promise for the future. We said this is looking to the millennium. One day, we're going to have our youth renewed. One day, we're going to have that new body, as it says in Isaiah, we have wings like eagles and fly. We're going to be able to go around, but it's a promise for the future. It's not necessarily for right now. But today, he does promise all the time to give us good things. To give us good things. How has God protected you? I want to ask you this for just a minute. I'm sorry, I didn't put this up here. Promises for the future. But I want to ask you just for a minute, just in the last week, how has God shown you good things? I'm not asking for last year, for 24, 25. I'm asking for this past week in 2026. How has some ways that God has shown you good? I was thinking that for you guys. Did you do most of the driving?
No.
Oh, so you were able to drive, Russ? Russ, I know. Larry.
Woke us up every morning.
There you go.
You know, you think about this cold season. Anything can happen.
You know, so there's many blessings.
Yep. Yep. Anyone else? There you go. Yep. Well, as I put in the newsletter the other day, the night it was minus 22 out here. Was it Thursday morning, Cheryl? I had to end up canceling Bible study. Cheryl had gotten up to go to the bathroom at 3 in the morning. We had heat. When I got up at 5:30, it was 49 degrees in our house. And you know, I like the cold. I like winter. I wasn't real happy with that. And I checked the furnace and pushed the reset button, and it kicked on and went right off. So I called Larry. I said, Larry, can you just come over and make sure it's not? And he came over and tapped on the tank and went all the way. And we just had a delivery in June or in December. And he said, you're empty. So I called Oil, WOC, and they said, well, we have people out. They're going to be right out your way this morning. And then she said, oh, no, that's a propane delivery. She goes, I don't know where we're going to have an oil truck in your area today. She goes, hopefully we'll get out sometime today. So they did come around 11, but I'm thankful for the fireplace. It went from 49 to 63 degrees. But I just stayed home. I canceled Bible study, and the ladies met without me. But I was freezing. And they finally came at 11. I thought the furnace would come right on, and it didn't. So we had a guy came out, Vern Williams came out, and he said, your furnace hasn't been serviced since 2004. So he did all the work on that and got it started right up. And that was about 1:30. And my son Cameron called me from Los Angeles. We try to do every Tuesday to meet for like a Bible study, but it didn't work out this week until Thursday. So he called me, and while I'm talking to him, I had the fireplace going, and I'm just realized I'm way too hot. I don't like it over 70. I mean, I like it, you know, 65 to 70 is comfortable for me. And I realize it's getting hotter and hotter in here. And I'm talking to Cameron on FaceTime, and I hear a knock on the door, and I turn around, and it's Vern. He goes, are you warm enough yet? And I said, I'm way hot. And he goes, well, good. He says, you can't control what your thermostat, you can't control your furnace by your thermostat. He said, I did some kind of override, which I don't know what that was. But it was almost 78 degrees at that point, and I'm sweating. So he went from 49 degrees to 78 degrees within just a matter of hours, but it made me realize God was good. If we hadn't gotten the oil delivery, if they could have said, we're not going to get out today, we would have probably definitely had pipes freeze during the night, even the fireplace upstairs. But I thought, God was good. He's given us health. He's given us safety. He's provided for us. He's protected us. Heat within, 5.5 hours after I called, or 4 hours after I called him. I didn't call him at 5:30. I called him at 7. And God was good. And we don't often see, and I said, we don't often realize what we have until we don't have it. And I sit in the morning, I thank the Lord for heat and for our home. And I didn't thank him for the heat Thursday morning because we didn't have any. But God was good. Anyone else have something that God was good for you this week that you saw? That's true. His son's a chiropractor and had some. Oh, wow. That's good. So, yeah, so even in the midst of pain, God protects us. He heals us. And then the final one is here in verses 6 and 7. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. Moses and the people of Israel are both mentioned here. And I ask, do you live as Moses or the people of Israel? Think about that. We may be content to live as the children who only saw the miracles. The people of Israel, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, they weren't even allowed to go near the mountain. Remember it said, keep the cattle and everyone away. Whoever touches the mountain or comes near it is going to die. Only Moses was able to go up. And through the 40 years, Moses performed a lot of the miracles, and the people only saw it, and they were content with that. I don't want to be content with seeing miracles. I want to be knowing God, the worker of the miracles. There's a big difference between that. Moses knew God. Remember, his face glowed. His face shone. He had to wear a veil because he was in the presence of God. I don't want to live vicariously through another believer who says, man, you should. I had a great prayer time today. That's awesome, you know, that you did. I want to have that awesome prayer time. I'm surprised because I think my face should be glowing, but it's not. But I want my face to glow because people say, he's been in the presence of God. I want people to say, he doesn't just work miracles. He knows the miracle worker. I hope that just seeing the miracles around you isn't enough to satisfy you. And you say, well, I've never seen any miracles. I want you to think about, I just wrote some down. The miracle of birth, the beauty of creation and nature, the wonders of the world, the expanse of the universe and the depth of the ocean. I saw something the other day that was just showing where the Titanic sunk to, and it was just so deep. And then it went, the cameras went further down, like 20 some miles into the ocean, and it was just showing this, and there was nothing down there. And I thought, that is awesome. Nobody ever sees it, but God knows it. God created it. Awesome. The depth of the ocean, witnessing the miracle of physical healing, witnessing the detail of the human eye and the systems of the body, the miracle of the new birth when a person comes to Christ. Think about all those wonders and miracles that we see daily. I don't want to just hear about them. I don't want to just see them. I want to know the God who's behind them. And you know what? He's enabled us to do that. He reveals himself in his word. He's saying to, I work righteousness. I made known my ways to Moses. And I believe he's made himself known to us in his word. And we can know him. We can understand that Jesus is who he says he is. Do we know everything about him? No. I get so discouraged sometimes when I realize, when I learn something new in reading scripture, I think, I should have known that. I've read this verse multiple times, and I never saw that before. Do we still have questions? Yes. Are we always going to have all the answers? No. Will there be a time when they will be revealed to us? Yes. Probably not in this life, but we can know him here. There's very few people who know you. Your spouse probably knows you better than anyone. Your children know you somewhat. They understand how you act and how you react. They know the buttons to push. Is that true, Seneca? Is your daughter know the buttons to push? Okay. And all of you who are parents, you know what you're... I'm asking because her daughter is here. But all of us know. Our kids know... Kim, your kids know what buttons to push. Your kids know you pretty well. And others can only see what you allow to be seen in public. Most of you don't know me all that well, but if you played a round of golf with me, which I haven't played for a number of years, but or you saw me playing on the ball field back when I played baseball all the time, and you saw me react. Oh, my son Spencer and I played golf one time, and I was so frustrated. I just kept taking. I played golf until I play enough golf. I still step like I did playing baseball. So when I was getting ready to swing, I'd step like this. You can't do that. And every time I'd step, my ball would shoot off about to a right angle almost. So Spencer and I was trying to pitch onto the green. I was probably 50 yards away. And I tried about five times. And I finally just took my pitching wedge and just threw it like that. And Spencer stood there and said, Dad, you just threw the golf club further than you hit the golf ball. And then I chased him around the club, the course for a few minutes. But he was right. But if you saw me playing golf, you would probably say, he's a pastor. That's Pastor Ron. Or if you saw me on the ball field, or if you could somehow enter into my mind and realize how blank it really is, you'd probably be amazed. What have you been thinking about, Ron, this week? Were you thinking about all these spiritual things? Were you thinking about this message you're going to be speaking? You know what I was thinking? I was thinking the Super Bowl is next weekend. The Olympics starts next Friday. This is going to be an awesome month. And then March Madness is in March. And that's what I've been thinking about. I wasn't being super spiritual this week. I'm sure you're surprised by that. But God knows me. And God has revealed himself to me. And you know what? I did a message in my last church called Practicing the Presence of God. And I tried to find it the other day in my notes, and I couldn't. So I never did it here. But I'm thinking about reworking that because I want to do that. I want to practice the presence of God 24 hours a day. I've never done that. I told my son Cameron, we were talking about that this week. That was one of the chapters we talked about in the book. I said, I might maybe have an hour, hour and a half a day when I'm consciously walking in the presence of God and just thanking him for his goodness, just walking down this you know, walking from the house to the church and just, God, the creation is so beautiful. The snow is so gorgeous. Lord, thank you for that. And just, you know, at night and seeing stars and saying, God, you are awesome. You're behind all this. So I am conscious of it a certain amount of time a day. I want to be conscious of it moment by moment. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be an awesome thought just to be able to live in God's presence? But he makes himself known to us. And I want you to see this verse, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to know him. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I want to know him, and he's done his part. He's made himself known to us. We need to be men and women, not only of prayer, but of Bible reading, of Bible study, and then not just studying the Bible and knowing the Bible, but applying the Bible to our lives. We need to live it out. And I want to do that in this coming year. I want to do that as we go through this series. I want to know Christ far better today than I did last week. And in this coming month, I want to know him better than I did all of 2025. And I want to grow as his child. I want to grow as his pastor, as a teacher for you. I want to know him, and I want to love him more. And that's my plea for you guys as we go through this series, to thank him for his forgiveness, to thank him for his protection, to thank him that he makes himself known. Lord, help me to know you. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for these first three praises that we have to give you, Lord, that you forgive us, you pardon us. We can't begin to comprehend that. We can't understand why. Lord, you protect us, you redeem us, you also make yourself known to us. Lord, help us to know you better. Help us to serve you and follow you and honor you. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask the men to meet me in the front, and we will serve communion. Thank you, Carly.